Good morning, everybody, and thank you for attending Gateway again this morning. It's a lot of our regulars are away today. Is there something going on in the city? Is there a Remembrance Day parade or something today? No? Anyways, who has served here? Who has served in the military here? And I want to thank, you know, Gladys, it's funny, over all of these years, I didn't know that that's where you met, that you met in the military, that you served together, and you served also in the medical field in the military. So all these years where I've said, I honor you, Dave Patterson, Gladys Patterson, I honor you for both of you for serving. And they met in the military, and they've been married for 500 years. And so... It is 500, isn't it? Is it 49 or 54? How many years? How many years married? Oh yeah! Wow, that's good. That's good. I don't know how. I don't know how she put up with you all these years, Dave. So anyways, good morning, and thank you for attending Gateway again this morning. And thank you for all the good people who tune in each and every week on our podcast from our webpage. It's just exciting to know that not only are we communicating the message here, but others around are also getting the message as well. And so we've been learning about the Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit is a person, a friend, our helper. That's the very, very basic thing. And if we can get that deep within our spirit, that we understand that, we walk in that, that Holy Spirit is the comforter that Jesus promised. Because of Jesus Christ and the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, we are seen, each of you are seen as righteous before the Father. Now, whether you're righteous or you're not, that's not his fault, okay? But he sees you as righteous. Now, what a picture that is. Think about that. So you're righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then he promised a comforter so that we could actually learn how to walk in that righteousness. So as I said last week, and maybe even the week before, I just picture there's the Father in heaven kind of looking around. And he sees us as righteous, you know, but he's looking around and he's saying, hey, Ken, You're doing well. And I'm thinking, like, thank you, Father. And so with a relationship with the Holy Spirit and all the things that we're talking about, being a friend, a person, a helper, they're all foundational to in our understanding. They're vital in our spiritual journey. And we're learning what it means to be really immersed in Holy Spirit. Okay? And sometimes what happens is, I had a friend of mine who's a pastor in the city here, and he would say to me on a Sunday, during the week sometimes, he says, oh, we had a Baptist service on Sunday. I said, well, why do you say that? I said, what do you mean? Like, that doesn't even make sense. And so being Pentecostal doesn't, it's not a style thing where we're more lively or stuff like this, or our worship is more exuberant. It's a lifestyle thing. And it's having an understanding of who Holy Spirit is so that we could walk in that, so that Holy Spirit could work through us to bring blessings and salvation and fruit to everyone's life around us. It's not about us receiving. Yes, it is about us receiving, but it's about us being available so that he could pour through us into people. And so that's the foundational stuff of what we've been learning about Holy Spirit, and it's amazing. It's just amazing. And last Sunday, I began the message by sharing about Linda. And when I first met Linda, I was quite taken by her. And those of you who know me, I'm still quite taken by her. She's just a really great girl. But I was very taken by her. And it wasn't long before I knew that I needed to introduce her to my mom and to my dad. And that was a really big step, if anyone can remember that time. Do you remember that far back, Dave and Gladys? And it was a big thing because I had never brought a girl home to meet my mother and father, especially one that I was thinking that I was going to get serious about. And so, but I knew that by doing that, I was going to be going to the next level in that relationship with her. And so I introduced her to my mom and dad, and and I knew the relationship was going to the next level. And the reason I told that story is because I believe that our relationship with Holy Spirit also has to go to the next level. Okay? So it can't just be, yes, I knew that, I knew the basic doctrines, you know, we get saved and, you know, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, everything stops, and then what we do is we come, we wave flags, and we do. It's a relationship with a real person. It's a real, real person. And I believe that we need to go to the next level. And so last Sunday, we looked at the gifts of discerning. Did you enjoy that? And I really felt good about that message last week. I got a message from one of our spiritual mothers and said that was beautiful, spot on. And it meant a lot because you're talking about something that is so holy, something that is so sacred. It's not a matter of putting a series of messages together. This is so, so important what we're talking about. And for those of you who capture it and walk in it and get it, it's so, so important. That was a sign and a wonder. Okay, Friday night was a sign and a wonder. It just so happened that Jenny walking down the hall with her testimony to be able to share into your life. Those are signs and wonders, and those are miracles. Those are amazing things. Those are divine appointments. We don't want to miss those. We don't want to miss those at all. And so this morning I want to talk about the vocal gifts. The vocal. Say that with me. Vocal. Vocal gifts. What do you think I'm talking about, the vocal gifts? And there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. And I want to bring it around this morning that it's a thing of beauty. It's an amazing thing of beauty. And maybe clear up some misconceptions that people have. But how many of you like watching singing shows on TV? Anyone like watching singing shows on TV? Linda and I, from time to time, we've enjoyed watching The Voice, and I'm always amazed at the incredible talent that some people have on that show, and, you know, it's just incredible. Where did these voices come from, you know? I'd like to be a singer. Yeah. Why are you laughing? Yeah. Would you like me to sing for you this morning?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. And I would like to be a singer, you know? I would like to be on The Voice and sing. Do you ever notice how many worship leaders are on The Voice? And they sing to Jesus. They sing. Amen. There's been worship leaders on The Voice. I'm sitting there and they're singing worship on like the 20 million people watching. God is good. But few of us have a singing voice. However, Holy Spirit does give a set of spiritual gifts called the vocal gifts. And we learned last Sunday that the discerning gifts involved a supernatural downloading of information from the Spirit into our mind, and it would come out through a word of knowledge, or it would come out through discerning of good or evil spirits. And so they allow you to know something you didn't learn by natural means. I find that pretty exciting stuff, don't you? Like, that is pretty amazing stuff, that our spirit with the Spirit of the living God would mesh and connect, that there's a communication that we would receive supernatural downloading to our mind, that in turn we could speak it out and be a blessing to someone else. There's healing in that. There's everything in that. Now, that's not weird. That's not weird. So what happens is the vocal gifts, they each involve some form of declaration of divine truth, because they are a supernatural message. So did you hear what I said? Each one of the gifts, they involve some form of a declaration. We're declaring something. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. He says the Holy Spirit gives to another prophecy, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Here we have unique and wonderful gifts, prophecy, various tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So let's take a brief look at these. Are you good with that? Is it good? You're in tune. And I'm glad. I'm really glad that you're paying attention. So the prophetic gifts of encouragement. Many people believe that prophecy means predicting the future. And while a word of prophecy can be about a future event, it's not always the case. And when the Bible speaks of a word of prophecy, hear me, this is very important, it means a message of encouragement from God delivered from one human to another person or persons. Did you hear what I said? It's right up there. I said it simply means it's a word of encouragement. So in 1 Corinthians 4 and 3, Paul provides the threefold role of prophecy. And he says, but one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. That's 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. So note three things that I just said. A word of prophecy is for strengthening, encouraging, and for comfort. Amen? How many of you here have been rebuked in the name of Jesus and it's been called so-called prophecy? Has anyone? Okay. Don't receive that. Okay. Just like there's a boundary. Okay, so my good friend here, I'm walking towards you. Oh, there's a boundary right here. Okay. So now if I want to get closer, I have to get permission from you. So whether that's through, even not through words, right? Yep. I need permission. So what happens is when someone speaks into your life, they need permission to speak into your life. Amen? And so prophecy is always about strengthening, encouraging, and comfort because that's what the Scripture said. And a great way to test a prophetic word is did it bring that? Did it bring strengthening? Did it bring comfort? Did it bring encouragement to you? Amen? And so the gift of prophecy is among the highest and most important of all the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. You can understand why. Because each and every one of us, if we're walking well, do you need to be encouraged this morning? Not just from Ken, but because I've spent time with the Lord and He's put you upon my heart and I'm just going to encourage you in the Spirit. You see, now a year ago, that would have been your zone. Now I could just walk this close because we've established a relationship. And we establish a relationship with Holy Spirit, and we respect that, and we learn to respect each other. And we're all about speaking into each other's lives, building up the body of Christ, walking in strength within the body of Christ. Amen? Amen. People come in here, I don't know everyone's story, but people come in here, there's people in pain here this morning. Okay, there's people that are carrying burdens that are so heavy. And what happens is they need to come in here to be able to walk with us and to talk with us. And it would be like so that you're in touch with God today. And you just sense maybe there's something wrong with Ken today. And I just need to go and encourage or speak a word into him. And you pray for a second, Lord, what is it that you would want me to say? What vocal gift would you want me to say to download into him to lift his spirit because his spirit is crushed this morning, and vice versa. Amen? Scripture wouldn't exhort us in this area, wouldn't exhort all the desire of the gift of the Spirit if it wasn't available to us. Right? The Spirit wouldn't do that. Scripture wouldn't exhort us to do it if it wasn't available to us. So let's look next at the next thing, a message in unknown tongues. How many of you have been in a service where you've heard a message in tongues and an interpretation where you said, oh my goodness, that is the Lord speaking to the house today? How many of you? Okay. Now, he talks about this and he says, this brings us to the next of the vocal gifts, the wonderful gift of tongues. Now, I got to tell you something. The devil, this is very, very important, so I'm going to let Ty get his son so that you're focusing on me here because you're all watching him, and I really want you to get this. So, okay? So now the devil, he works overtime to sow doubt, confusion, and fear in the minds of believers concerning this gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's people in certain body of Christ that they would totally reject what I'm preaching this morning, and some of it's been abused and whatever, but it doesn't matter. I don't want to go with the negative. I want to just say this is a beautiful, beautiful gift. Okay, this is something that's incredible. But we really need to know what the gift of the Spirit, the gift of tongues is, that it's a gift from God. Amen? So that should make us happy. And if the God who loves us and gave us his blessed Son to die for us wants us to have this gift, then there's nothing for us to be afraid of. Amen? Amen? Because it's in the Scripture, so we should not be afraid of it. And many people fail to recognize the difference between the gift of tongues. Just pray for me a second. I'm just coming up against some opposition. Interesting, eh? I just said that it's the one gift that the devil doesn't like us to really talk about or walk in. And I just sense some. Couldn't get my sentence finished. You know? Okay, I'm ready. I'm not weird. In case you're looking at me and you're thinking I'm weird, I'm not weird, okay? Okay. We all need to know what this is about. And many people fail to recognize the difference between the gift of tongues, which the Holy Spirit gives on certain occasions, and praying in tongues. Now, I've been in services before, and I've said everyone use their prayer language. And you'll hear, if you're not used to that, you'll hear people, they begin to pray in tongues. I'm generally very sensitive to the room that I'm in, so that if there's unbelievers or whatever, because when we use spiritual gifts, it's always to encourage and to exhort and to build people up. It's not to freak people out, right? So you're always sensitive in that area. But sometimes you just feel that something's so deep within the congregation. There's such a heaviness within the congregation. I don't even know how to pray in my prayer. So I use my prayer language, and I say, those in the church who have a prayer language, I said, let's just take a moment and let's just pray for this. There needs to be a breakthrough in someone's life within this church here today. Amen? That is different than the gift of tongues, where someone gives a message and then there's an interpretation. Okay, so we can't confuse, and believers recognize that it's from the Holy Spirit. And so the gift of tongues is a message from God to others in an unknown language through the person whom the message comes. Amen? And so much of what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is designed to give the church guidelines, not to shut down something, but to give the church guidelines on how these gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of tongues, should be utilized in a public service. And obviously, if you've read the Scripture, you know that there was a problem, and that's why he was addressing it. So people were all speaking in tongues, and maybe it was their prayer tongue, and maybe it wasn't the gift of tongues and everything, but there was a lot of this going on. I don't know for sure what the meeting looked like, so I'm not going to exaggerate it. But obviously, there was an issue that was going on where Paul had to step in and he said, you know what, the gift of prophecy is what you need to do unless the gift of tongues is the real gift of tongues. Amen? And so apparently this group of believers, they were very excited and they practiced it a lot in their public services. So what happens is, but they were neglecting the expression of other gifts such as prophecy. And Paul points out the problem is that unless someone interprets the message in tongues, other people in the congregation cannot be encouraged, edified, and comforted, because that's what it's all about. So whether it's a word of prophecy or whether it's a message in tongue with an interpretation, the end result always has to be that someone is encouraged and edified and comforted. So I could see Pastor Paul in the service where everyone is speaking in different languages, but the edification and the encouragement wasn't happening, and that's how we tell whether it's the Spirit is a true Spirit, or so we discern whether it's not, it is or it isn't, right? But that doesn't mean that we shut down the interpretation of tongues and the message of tongues, because it's a thing of beauty. It's a gift from God. But we want it to be in such a way that it's of God and that we're honoring God and that everything that we do is to an audience of one, and that we don't become proud in this and all of a sudden, because Paul says it's more important that you would prophesy than you would give a message in tongues. Right? The end result is so that the body of Christ will be encouraged, edified, and comforted. Amen? So it's not about us. And sometimes we've made it about us. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul talks about walking in love towards others. God loves people. God loves you. I tell you that every single week. He loves you. He sees you as righteous, and he wants his people to reflect and share that love with a dying world. The passion that is stirring in this house for salvation in the house is exciting. I remember at a district conference we were just at, our district superintendent, he says, we need apostles, we need prophets, we need all of the ministry. But man, he says, do we need evangelists in this day? We need evangelists in this day. And God loves people, and he wants people to reflect and share that love to a dying world around us. We can get so excited about the power of God flowing through our lives, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we forget the reason why they were given in the first place. Amen? Amen? So love must rule and motivate everything we do. Love must rule and motivate everything we do, including the use of spiritual gifts. Right? That's why Paul talks about that. Not only for a love for God and a love for each other and walking in that place. If you have not been used in some of the spiritual gifts, just ask the Lord for a second, Lord, show me what I love. Show me what I love. And help me, Lord, in the areas where I don't love. And you will see all of a sudden it'll be different. It will be different. This is why Paul follows his love chapter, which is chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And he begins in chapter 14 and he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Especially prophecy. He says all of you should speak in prophetic words. Especially prophecy. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. If a prophetic word is for strengthening, encouraging, and comfort, then it should be used often, don't you think? It should be used often. It should be a gift that we all desire, the gift of prophecy, if it's meant to strengthen, encourage, and to comfort. Amen. There's nothing weird about that. See, we're a Pentecostal church. We have our name Pentecostal on it. What does that mean? It means that we walk in a lifestyle of the Holy Spirit. We want to be friends with the Holy Spirit so that the gifts of the Holy Spirit can flow through each of us so that we could touch people that are around us that are hurting and pain. We have that discernment so that we could speak a word of knowledge into their life. We could pray for them. We could do everything. It's always about serving the Lord and allowing the Spirit to flow through us. If that's weird, then you're in the wrong house. Paul is careful not to dismiss tongues as a gift when he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but rather he is pointing out that the use of tongues should be carefully managed in a worship service. We don't see a lot of that gift of tongues with an interpretation in this house. But it doesn't mean, maybe it's because we haven't taught on it properly. Okay? Or maybe it's because it's been abused so often. So I remember there was a lady in a church that we attended, and every single Sunday she would stand up and she would give the same message, and then she would go, my people, we love you, and stuff like this. And it got to the point where she was a great lady, and she meant well, and she was awesome. But it was kind of like you roll your eyes at it, as opposed to, like, can you imagine how many of you have rolled your eyes at God? I don't know what's wrong. I didn't know what was wrong with that lady. Instead of ignoring her and neglecting her and just, oh no, it's her again. Maybe we should have gone and put our arm around her and said, how are you doing? I don't know what the reason is. But Paul gets to the bottom line. He says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that there might be an interpretation. Amen? So the next one, the last one, is interpreting the message. And this takes us to the third of the vocal gifts, the interpretation of tongues. Have any of you been used to interpret a message in tongues here? Anyone? Has anyone ever walked in that gift? Thank you. Thank you. And this takes us to this area. A biblical definition is that the gift would be understanding or expressing the thought or intent of the message in tongues. So someone gives a message in tongues and it's like, koreamasitama, koreamaso. And it's like 5 minutes, and then the person who interprets it gives a 3-second answer. Okay? It's not a translation of the word that you're looking for. It's the thought or the intent. Okay? So we need to stop trying to get into the science of this. And the key words are the thought or the intent. So when you receive the gift of interpretation of tongues, you get a supernatural understanding of the general idea of the message that was communicated to a congregation. This is something very, very special. But it's not better than a word of prophecy. It's always for the same thing. It's always for encouragement, edification. It's always for that. So it doesn't rank one higher than the other. So if you've been used in the area of giving a message in tongues and interpreting, you're not the super prophet in the house. Okay? And that's what Paul is trying to say. If you just prophesy, it's the same thing. This is why the gift is called the interpretation of tongues rather than the translation of tongues. Amen? And I would like to see this gift activated in this house. I declare it, Lord. I ask that it would be activated in this house. I pray that the gift of prophecy would be activated more, and that each of you are hearing from God, and you're edifying each other, and you're encouraging each other, and you're doing all of these things. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm looking. I love that. I have, over the years, heard some incredible messages in tongues and interpretations. Incredible. It was like I was almost shaking. So like, my first thought is like, come on. God, in this scientific world, come on. How could this be? But you just know. Something gets a hold of your spirit and you're an eye. You're saying, like, oh my goodness. God just spoke to us. And we've all been built up. We've all been encouraged. We've all been edified. It's incredible. I don't understand it all. I don't understand it all. You gave your heart to the Lord last Sunday, and you're getting this today. Like, girl, this is not discipleship 101. Okay? But it's biblical. It's biblical. I would like to see it. Paul's not trying to shut it down. He is trying to bring teaching so that God is honored in our meetings. And I'll tell you one thing. We, in our preparation for a meeting, am I right? We always prepare, even through the week, that God is honored in this house. Amen. Okay? That God is honored in this house. This house is not about me. This house is not about you. This house is about Him. Amen? And if He says that whichever way the message is to be delivered, so that you will be encouraged, that you will be lifted up, that you will be, then you know what? Then we're open to that. Okay? Now, if I was to stand here and say, I think I have a word from the Lord this morning. Marlene, the Lord just told me you have a stinking attitude. It's not true. Okay? Thank you for smiling. You know what? No, the Lord didn't tell me to say that. Okay? The Lord doesn't say that. Okay? Now, if some of you are married and your husband or your wife has a stinking attitude, don't use the Lord that. Just tell them the truth. You have a stinking attitude, okay? Don't spiritualize it too much. It's just like, you know what? You're driving me crazy. There's nothing prophetic about that. It's just you're driving me crazy. You know, put on your big boy pants and grow up, you know? Or big girl pants. I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble with them. So Paul's not trying to shut it down. He's trying to give it sound teaching. So in 1 Corinthians, just be a couple more minutes, Paul declared that the gift of prophecy is superior to the gift of tongues in a public meeting. So he's not trying to shut down other. He's just wanting one to be really honoring to God. And then they become equal. But the way they were practicing it there, he says, well, if you're going to practice it that way, you may as well do the prophecy one, because what happens is it's becoming a lot more effective than whatever. And he says first in 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. In public service, worship service, where unbelievers and new Christians are present, prophecy is superior because everyone can receive that word of encouragement. But when it's an actual gift of the Spirit, and what happens, or a gift of tongues and interpretation, then they will equally be blessed as well. And so Paul goes on, if a person who delivers the message in tongues goes on to operate in the gift of interpretation in tongues, then everyone can be blessed by that message too. So these are the vocal gifts. And they provide a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous blessing to the body of Christ. Amen? Amen? Just doing some teaching here this morning. You know, it's funny, we went away a few years ago and we did a survey. And of our congregation, we wanted to find out where you were. And the one area where we were weak was in our understanding of what I'm talking about this morning. And I had to put some messages together so that we could do some good teaching on this. You know, it's funny, a Pentecostal church, and our understanding of really how the Spirit works was weak. Figure that. And so I take responsibility for that. So these are the vocal gifts. So think for a second with me. What would happen if each of you flowed in vocal gifts? Yeah. What would happen if each of you desired a deeper relationship with Holy Spirit and started to experience the gifts of the Spirit? Okay? Think of a situation right now, how it would have turned out differently if you were flowing in the vocal gifts of the Spirit. What would that look like? I think it would be a thing of beauty. Amen? A thing of beauty. The Spirit's love is the sweetest of loves. Amen. Did you hear what I said? The Spirit's love is the sweetest of loves. And to be able to distribute that type of love through us in the supernatural is incredible. Okay? And it's something that we should all desire. Yes, me. Why you? Because you're righteous before the Father. Right? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you're still righteous before the Father if you've gone to the Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen. So love should be the highest goal, but prophecy should be sought after as well. And the advantages of this gift, it strengthens, it encourages, it confronts believers. It edifies the entire church, John, as you just said. It's Paul's personal choice for the Corinthian church. It's Paul's most effective way to help all the churches. In fact, he feels that this gift is 2,000 times more effective than the gift of tongues. And it's not to dismiss the gift of tongues, because it does the same thing if it is done as the gift. Amen? Amen? So did you learn anything today? That's good. Let's stand together and close in prayer. Praise you, Father. I got to tell you something. You know why I stopped and I said I'm just getting an attack? Can I tell you why that what that was? You want to know what it was? It would have been me rising up in the flesh and saying things, outward expression, criticizing those who criticize us. And we do not have to be on the defensive when it comes to the things of the Spirit. What we need to be is we need to be people who walk in the Spirit. And so it could have been something like this, because it could be, do you believe it that so and that that particular denomination, they think this and they think that? So what happens is I'm not speaking words of edification, or I'm not speaking anything. I'm doing the very thing that I'm doing the complete opposite to what I said prophecy is. Amen. So I caught myself and I thought, no, you know what? And I just felt that, you know. And when you walk with the Spirit long enough, you know if it's just your own hobby horse, or if you're discerning a spirit coming against you. And I was. And so I wanted to teach in gentleness and kindness so that we could understand and we could further walk in it as a family. Amen? So thank you for allowing me to be vulnerable, honest, hopefully humble. So Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for the worship. We thank you, Lord, for each one that is here today. And Lord, some of the things of God are really a mystery. And it's not always easy, Lord, to take a passage of Scripture and teach on it when we don't really fully comprehend what it is. But Lord, we know that if you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and it's in the Scripture, then it's a promise to us. So I pray, Lord, that we would, yes, use our brains, but Lord, that our hearts and spirits would kick in, and that we would have faith in you to be able to walk in these things, so that, Lord, the body of Christ would be built up, so that in turn we would be built up. So I pray for health upon each single person here today. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be alive in each one's spirit, and that, Lord, I ask for your blessing upon this house, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.